Welcome to Good Money Moves, the show where we share financial tips and advice to help you feel financially empowered. Today, we are with Chelsea Lara, our newest community development advisor here at First Alliance Credit Union. I'm Jenna Chabal, the AVP of Marketing, and today we're diving into a topic that I think is very relevant for a lot of people in our community, but also something I think a lot of people don't know about, and that is ITINs and how you can use an ITIN to get access to lending products and bank accounts, especially here at First Alliance. So, but before we dive into this topic and we explain what an ITIN even means, I'm going to let Chelsea introduce herself and share a little bit about her role here at the credit union.
Hi, so my name is Chelsea. I am the community development advisor here at First Alliance Credit Union, and I am working with the business department doing community outreach and bringing in business to the credit union.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for being here, Chelsea. I'm really excited that you agreed to join me today because I think you are the perfect person to talk about our topic. So let's just start at the most basic level. What is an ITIN? Like, what does that stand for?
So an ITIN is an individual taxpayer identification number. It is a number that people can apply for that don't qualify necessarily for like social security numbers to file their taxes.
Okay. So if you don't have access to a social security number, you get issued an ITIN.
Yes.
Essentially. Perfect. Yep. So how can somebody really use an ITIN to apply for a loan? Because normally, if you have a social security number, that is part of like the application process, right? You're asked like, what's your social? Because then we want to run like credit checks and things like that. How does an ITIN function in place of that in that process?
So essentially, it basically works the same way. The only difference is that it's not a social. It's an ITIN number, basically. But it does the same thing as a social lending-wise. The only thing that you can't do with an ITIN is like go out and apply for a job, but you can apply for loans, you can file taxes under that number. It's strictly for like the IRS, basically.
Sure. Interesting. Okay. So are there any types of loans that you can or cannot get access to with an ITIN versus a social security number?
Yes. So from my knowledge, currently I know that like applying for a mortgage, some financials do require like a social because they have to verify that. And with ITINs, you can't apply for a mortgage, basically.
Okay. But you can for things like auto loans, personal loans, mm-hmm. credit cards,
yeah, personal loans, cars. We actually are able to use them for manufactured homes as well.
Okay.
So members can come in and apply for a manufactured home with an ITIN.
Oh, that's fantastic. Mm-hmm. And that's, I think you bring up a good point too, because you mentioned not every financial institution offers ITIN lending for mortgages, but not every financial offers ITIN lending for any type of loan, really. It's kind of a specialized type of lending that is done. So certainly something that we do here at First Alliance. And maybe you can talk a little bit more about how that's been a really great tool for some of our members to have access to lending products through our ITIN program.
Yeah, so a lot of our members that are like our First Start members do come in with like new ITINs, and they initially start building credit off their ITINs with us. So we are then able to provide, you know, like a pathway to like home ownership with manufactured homes. So it's been a great way that we can also help our members.
Awesome. And I like that you just brought up kind of a good point more about building credit. So you can use an ITIN then to build and start a credit score. Is that correct?
Yes.
Can you talk a little bit about how that process works?
Yeah. So it's the same as a social. You apply for, you know, a credit card, a line of credit, whatever it is that you're looking to get. And you basically start building credit on the ITIN just like you would with a social. So it works the same way. We do the same application process. There may be like additional verification with an ITIN, but essentially it's all the same.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. So down the road, let's say somebody starts out with an I-10 and they eventually get to a point where they can apply for a Social Security number, would that credit that they've built up with their I-10, does that follow them when they get a Social Security number?
Yeah, so that's actually a big misconception that a lot of people have, is like when you start building credit off on an I-10, you can't then transfer that over to like a social when you are able to get one. But actually, you can. It is a long process, but it is doable. You have to like call the IRS and, you know, let them know that you want to transfer everything and basically provide like personal information, but you can. You awesome. Can transfer that, yeah.
Are there, I mean, you mentioned misconceptions. Are there other misconceptions that people have when it comes to using their I-10 to access financial services or just using their I-10 in general?
Yeah, I think a lot of people don't realize that you are able to, you know, like apply for a loan, open up a bank account with an I-10. A lot of people think that, oh no, I don't have a social, so I can't do that. I think that's one of the biggest misconceptions. And also like doing that transferring of credit when you are able to mm-hmm. obtain a social.
Yeah. Well, so let's talk a little bit about, you know, how important it is for individuals to even have a bank account and to have access to lending products and financial services. Because without that, especially in the United States, you kind of can't go very far, especially mm-hmm. with how digital everything is getting.
Mm-hmm.
Do you experience that with some of the members that you work with who are a little bit hesitant to bring their funds here?
Yes, and I do see that with like people that have recently came to the U.S. Because in their countries, maybe there wasn't that financial confidence to like go and, you know, open up a bank account or, you know, so it's just been like a teaching journey that we have to do with our members that are coming into the U.S.
Yeah. So what is maybe some of the coaching that you've given or that you've heard others in the credit union give to those individuals who are just kind of starting to learn about how to manage their funds in the United States?
Well, I think they kind of like realize that themselves when they get here, because as we all know, like a lot of our life basically runs off of like credit. Like, you know, to get an apartment, you need a credit, like you need all that. So when they realize like, oh, it's hard for me to like, you know, go and get an apartment or whatever the case is, they're like, oh, then, you know, I do need to start mm-hmm. somewhere. So I think then that like brings them into a financial and we can start coaching them there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just kind of based on their individual mm-hmm. experiences. Perfect. So kind of bringing it back to I-10s and using those to get access to lending products, do the interest rates look different for I-10 loans versus a loan that you can get with a Social Security number or any? I mean, are there differences in those type of loans, or are they pretty much the same? You're just using a different source of verification, essentially.
Yeah, that's a really good question. For us here at First Lines, like, the rates are all the same. So it doesn't matter if you have an I-10. It doesn't matter if you have a social. We go based off of, like, the credit score for pricing on rates. So, yeah, it's the verification process is just the difference.
Sure. So if you're a new I-10 holder, you really don't have any kind of credit history yet, just like if you were a new Social Security holder and mm-hmm. getting, you know, access to lending products for the first time, that you would probably have like a low or no credit score, essentially.
Yeah.
So you might out the gate have to pay some higher interest rates just mm-hmm. because you are new, and that's just kind of how the process works. But as you build up that credit history, you know, whether it's on that I-10 or that social, you'll eventually get to a point where those rates aren't going to be as high because you've kind of have that history built up.
Yes.
So I think maybe that plays into a little bit of the misconception that the rates are different because people maybe are stepping in with that higher rate out the gate and then not realizing that it actually improves over time.
Mm-hmm.
So awesome. What are, and you kind of alluded to this a little bit already in our conversation, but what are some of the challenges that I-10 holders face when they are applying for loans, and what are some things that they can do ahead of time to prepare themselves if they do face some of those challenges?
Yeah, so I think a big one is some financials do I-10 lending. However, I know that not all of the credit bureaus are able to report ITIN loans on the credit report. So a lot of the challenges are that they don't have, like, history because their loan is not reporting. Mm-hmm. So that is, it's hard because you can't get a credit score if you don't have anything reporting. So that's one of the biggest ones that I have seen. And I have seen members, like, take hours on the phone with, you know, Equifax or whatever the credit reporting agency is. And that's what we found out.
Interesting. What about, you know, even just the process because of running an ITIN for verification? Like, you know, I feel like the infrastructure for Social Security identification is probably pretty well built up, but I'm wondering if it's the same for running an ITIN through different verification services. Are there challenges or like red flags that come up more often for an ITIN just because they're not as frequently used?
Yeah, so a lot of the ones that I have seen is like when, you know, you just got an ITIN or you've been using an ITIN for a while, it's like when you pull somebody's credit on an ITIN number, you do have that like warning that says like, oh, this may be a taxpayer identification number, so it needs to go through like extra verification so that we can make sure it's good to go through.
So maybe just kind of even just takes a little bit longer to go through that verification process. So where something like a social might take, you know, an hour or two to turn around, you know, that ITIN could take a day or something, you know, something like that. Where, so it's not necessarily that it'll be a no, it's just it might take longer to say yes in some cases, it sounds like.
Yeah.
Okay. So what, I guess, what advice would you give to somebody who's really just starting their financial journey and just starting to get set up and they've just gotten their ITIN maybe and are they're starting to think about, you know, oh, you know what, I do need a car loan. What is some advice and what are some things that they should be doing financially outside of just accessing that ITIN that they can start to set themselves up for success, like, long term?
Yeah, I think an advice that I would give is don't be scared. Like, don't be scared to come in and talk to us. Don't be scared to come in and ask those questions because we really are here to help. And something that they can do even before is, you know, like, getting educated, like, outside of the financial, like, what else you're able to do with that ITIN number. And coming in and asking those questions.
Yeah. What are some of the maybe common questions that you hear members asking when they come in looking for services and they are using their ITIN?
I get a lot of questions, but a lot of them are because they don't know that we offer, you know, different products with an ITIN number. Like, most of them don't know that we can do manufactured home loans with ITIN. So I think a lot of the questions mainly that I see are like, what else can I do with this? Like, how is this going to help me?
Yeah. And you mentioned needing it to do things like rent an apartment or, you know, so what are some of those other things that having access to an ITIN could help a member even outside of the services we offer?
Yeah, so from what I know is, like, being able to, you know, get an apartment or get some, like, approved at, you know, any other place, like a mobile home park or whatever, because you can use ITINs for those as far as I'm aware.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, really, I guess really anything that you would need a Social Security for, like, I feel like even just signing up for utilities, sometimes they want your Social Security number. Or so just some of those basic things that you need to kind of just get through day-to-day life. So what else do you feel like our members should know when it comes to ITIN lending and coming in and talking to us about our products and services when it comes to using your ITIN?
Yeah, I think a big one is, like, come in and get those resources that we offer, like take advantage of those things that we offer, because like we mentioned before, you are able to transfer that over if, you know, you do get a social. So in the long run, you are helping yourself have that credit established already in that history. So
awesome. Well, Chelsea, thank you so much for being here today. We are out of time. This was really enlightening. I learned a lot from you, and I'm sure that our viewers did too. So we'll have you back again to talk more about this, because I feel like there's so much more depth we could go into with this topic, and we just scratched the surface today. So before you go, thank you so much for joining us. This has been Good Money Moves. Make sure that you like and subscribe on our YouTube channel and follow us for the podcast on Apple, Spotify, and YouTube. Goodness. And make sure if you want to learn more about iTunes and how you can use that to access financial services, check out our website at firstalliancecu.com. Thank you so much. Until next time, stay financially empowered.